Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? It's the Hammer from the Ruggery Inn Podcast, and Scott, my partner, is kicking it home with a young little lad, and I believe he is pretty sick, so he had to take the night off tonight, but I have two very special guests that are joining the pod tonight, and we're talking about an excellent topic this evening. That is going to be none other than the documentary. It's not even a series. It's one show, hour and a half, Quest for the Shield. And we have two special guests. I'm going to intro those guests right now. You got just like real quick, we've got Ryan Ginty from Next Level Rugby. First of all, Ryan, how the hell are you doing? Secondly, what are you up to real quick for those that are not familiar with your work?
Pleasure to be here. Really excited. 2025. It is the 50th anniversary of USA Rugby. So got a lot of test matches that we're getting ready for. Some WER Rugby, maybe some MLR stuff. We'll see what's happening. But we're getting pumped up. It's time for rugby, everybody. Let's go.
And then we have a super special guest. None other than one of the main featured personalities in the docu. And that is none other than USA Eagle, both on the 7s and 15 side, San Diego Legion founding player, if you will, Ryan Mattias. How you doing, Ryan?
Rob, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be on your show alongside here in the box with a guy who's been covering me since 2014, 15, Ryan Ginty from Next Level Rugby. Recorded me back when I started my journey with Old Blue. Absolute pleasure to be on the show. I'm a fan of the show, and I appreciate both you guys for what you do, founding members of growing American rugby and producing it and covering it all. So it's an honor to be here.
Well, I'm humbled. For those that are not, you know, that maybe followed you through your MLR and USA Eagle days, maybe they've lost track. What are you up to right now?
Yeah, I'm currently the head coach of San Diego State college rugby team. I'm also working with Cathedral Catholic High School and then director of rugby for Eagle Rock Athletic Club, which is a Division I team. It's the oldest men's club team in Southern California. And also working with OnBac Youth Rugby, helping their program grow from a director of rugby standpoint. So, of course, I retire from rugby and just turn around and just try and do as many rugby things as I can. So,
and yeah, you're raising a little rugger, right?
That's front? Right. Yeah, that's right. We've got my wife and I, who's also a former USA rugby player, much more decorated than I.
Jordan.
Mattias, formerly known as Jordan Gray, former Olympian and three World Cups underneath her belt. I always say that I'm the second best rugby player in my house. We got a 15-month-old, and then maybe another one coming soon. So plate's about to be very full.
That's awesome. Good news. Well, congratulations. Family's wonderful. I'm glad everybody's happy and healthy and doing well, and you're keeping busy in rugby. We can't grow the next generation without you, mate. It's going to take everybody working together, pulling from the same side. But we're here to talk about Quest for the Shield. And one of the reasons why we asked Ryan Mattias to join us is because he is a feature, hallmark feature in the docuseries. First of all, a little context for everybody. If you haven't seen it, Quest for the Shield is on Amazon Prime Direct. You can rent it for less than a cup of coffee at Starbucks, you know, make a brew at home and sit down and take a moment to watch this. Yeah, it's right there. Let me put a little image up so when people are looking around, they know what to look for. Here it is, Quest for the Shield. And there you see Matty is taped up.
Some good blood there, huh?
Head bloodied.
Ketchup packet.
Hey, if it bleeds, it leads, baby. If it bleeds, it leads.
Here you go. So Justin and Deidre LaPera were the directors. It was produced by both Ryan Patterson and Darren Gardner, the owners of the San Diego Legion. And just so everybody knows, Lane 4 Media Production, that is the production company that is owned by Justin and Deidre. And I just want to take a moment here for those that don't know, Lane 4 Media is an award-winning production company specializing in storytelling. And they pride themselves on capturing the heart of the story from various people, places, events, new and old. And so with that in mind, they produced Quest, or they directed and cut and really reached out and sold this to Amazon. And we want to get the inside view from Ryan, first of all, before he has to roll to practice. And so before we do that, I just want to play for everybody who hasn't had a chance to see it. I want everybody to see a little piece involving Ryan, and it kind of captivates in my mind a little bit, a big part of the story, especially when it comes to none other than Eagle Ryan Matthews.
I've always thrown everything I've had into this badge. This is my team. Being the first player that signed this organization, I told myself that I was going to do everything I possibly could to stay in these colors. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough that I'm going to be able to do that with my career. You never know how much you have left, how long you're going to be in this. And I never want to look back and think, could I have done this? Should I have done this? So to me, this is, you know, the kitchen sink. I'm giving it everything I have.
There you have it, folks. A nice little section hearing from Ryan. And I think it came from someplace down deep in his heart. First of all, Ryan, what was it like to experience this day in and day out? And you corrected me. For 6 years. I mean, they started in 2019, right? And then they went on through the 2023 MLR championship.
Yeah, I mean, it was, look, I've always wanted to be a professional rugby player. And, you know, to do that as a kid, it always meant going overseas. And when this opportunity came up, I couldn't say no. I couldn't ask someone to do something that I wouldn't do myself. And that's kind of how I live my life. And being able to be a part of the San Diego Legion from day one. And, you know, that's special. You don't get a lot of opportunities in life to be on the ground floor of something. And, you know, I really wanted to, like I said, I couldn't ask someone else to grow this thing or invest and help build it if I wasn't doing that myself. And so from a, you know, obviously from an MLR standpoint, like that was my driver. And then at the same time, like as a player, like, hey, here I'm playing professional rugby and I'm doing it in the United States. And obviously chasing an Eagles jersey and being, you know, being an Eagle was always my driver personally. So it kind of went hand in hand. It was, you know, extremely special to say that I was there from day one and I helped, you know, was one of very many pieces and a lot of very, very talented, you know, amazing people who also decided to invest and be a part of that to help it grow.
Sage words, my friend, sage words. So, tell us about, you know, did you get the feeling throughout the filming that Justin and Deidre were going to feature you a lot throughout this docu? Or is this something that when you saw it for the first time, you were kind of surprised by?
You know, to be completely honest, I don't think any of us really knew because, like, all of us would go up and do interviews, right? Like, it's like, hey, guys, you know, obviously Lane Four is going to be in this week, you know, catching up with everyone and, you know, guys who are there every year. You know, you have these, obviously, you know, superstars, for lack of a better word, you know, guys like Ma'anunu, guys like Joe Peterson, Chris Robshaw, Blair Cowan, Isaac Ross, I mean, Dan Pryor, Tom Franklin. I mean, the list goes on and on. We've had such a star-studded group from, yeah, I mean, 2018. We had Taku Nguyen. I mean, it's so, I guess to your point, I never thought I was going to be featured, but I did. There were moments when, obviously, we're doing our interviews, like, there are moments where I'm like, oh man, do I really like open up here? Or do I kind of just give the answer that like, this is going to answer the question. And like, I've answered the question. And I just kept going back to like, no, Ryan, like you got to get out of your comfort zone here and you need to be honest and you need to be open, because what are we here to do? We're here to grow American rugby. And if everyone sits here and just gives the, yeah, rugby's fun, I love it, it's and nobody is vulnerable enough to open themselves up and share that, well then what are we doing here? Because if we're doing a documentary to try and genuinely show what's, number one, what's going on here, number two, what makes our sport different, and number three, how do we engage with an audience and connect with them on an emotional level? And you know, I honestly struggled with that. I struggled with trying to open up, and so quite frankly, I didn't know where it was going to go, but I knew that, hey, I sat down and I was honest and I was vulnerable and I tried to open myself up, and whatever, wherever it went is wherever it went. And, but I was surprised at how much I was featured. Because like I said, there are so many incredible superstar, you know, athletes and great men across this team over the years, that I didn't think that I'd be as big a part of it as it was.
No, I get it, and it's sometimes it sneaks up on you, for sure. But it certainly was a compelling story, and I'm really curious. One of the most compelling parts of this document, at least for me, well, there were two, and they were kind of blended together. And it was the match before the final match. It was that Western Conference semifinal match where all the family members kind of either were there in person or were on video and presented the jerseys. And then the next week or 2 weeks, whatever it was in between the conference final and the final, where now it's former Legionnaires, guys who you played with, you know, as one of the OGs, actually did the jersey presentation. Like, how much, you know, in your heart, I mean, sport makes me cry, probably more than my kids, but how much, how deep down did that touch you on an emotional level?
I mean, yeah, it's, I've been fortunate enough, as you said, you know, to wear the USA jersey, and being in that room and getting handed that jersey is, you know, an experience unlike any other. And this also was an experience like any other, like my wife handing me my jersey. Like that was, it was incredible. I mean, it was just such a full circle moment. And, you know, going into the final, I'm like, how are they going to top that? Right. Like, how are you going to, like, are you flying in grandparents and stuff like that? Like, I didn't know how you could top that. And
she was pregnant, by the way, right?
She was. Yeah, she was. And I mean,
so essentially your child and your wife are presenting you with that jersey.
Well, truth be told, they handed me the last jersey that I ever wore because, you know, obviously my number wasn't called in the final, but. Yeah. But I wouldn't have it any other way, because that's a very cool memory and special memory to know that my wife, who was carrying my child at the time, handed me the last jersey that I wore, and me leaving rugby, one of the reasons was to start a family. And right. And so that was a very special moment. But you're right, when you know, again, outside of that, you have the the jersey presentation where you bring on all these guys who, you know, like I'm sitting there right before this final and I'm flashing back to the previous 5 years of time, a significant amount of time spent with all of these guys. And some guys were around for 3 years, some were only around for one, some were around for four, but like, we're here. Like, having those guys like remind you of what it took to get here was so, again, it was an experience unlike any other. And I mean, I genuinely believed it through and through. Like everything was so perfect. Like it was a movie. It was a fairy tale ending. We were going to win this final. You know, I'd seen it. I'd visualized it 100 times and everything was just going to work out right. And it was funny because I wasn't even set to play in the Western Conference final. I actually wasn't picked. Mm-hmm. Tommy Marani was picked. I was dealing with some knee stuff and Tommy was picked, but then in the captain's run, literally day before the game, Tommy gets injured. Like Tommy doesn't clear. And then all of a sudden I'm pulled in. I thought that was it. I was done. And then I'm in and then I was in again. So, and I was like, oh man, like, you know, the ball's bouncing my way. Like I got cut from the USA rugby team, like what, five times, six times, you know? And I thought like, okay, ball's bouncing my way. I'm into that final. I'm going to come off the bench and however many times, and I'm going to score the game winning try. You know, as a kid, you always envision those things, but you know, I can honestly sit here and say that everything happens for a reason. And to those young rugby players out there, if there's any wisdom I can impart on you as I have to run to training here in a minute, is that all of my adversities brought me to a higher place, a better place, taught me so many incredible lessons. Like I wouldn't trade the five times I got cut from USA Rugby, the team. I wouldn't trade that for anything. Like that taught me so much about myself. It taught me so much about life. I really, really genuinely, I wouldn't trade it. And it's so special. And I'm so, so thankful and grateful to have had those adverse moments. And in sport, obviously, like, you know, man, I dedicate so much of my time and my life to it. And when you take a step back, it's like, man, getting cut from the U.S. team. Well, hey, you had to get there to get cut.
Right. Yeah. Think about how many guys dream of getting there that never are able to achieve that. Exactly. So I got to, before you go, I have to, one compelling question that I have, and it's something that's kind of, it's gnawing at me a little bit after having watched the docu. And it was that season in Las Vegas after 2020. There's a COVID shutdown. The league decides to kick off, but of course, California restrictions are pretty high. And the decision is made by Ryan and Darren that they are going to take the show to Vegas for some time in order to play rugby. And I'm going to play a little clip here. And my question is, how difficult was it? Because it almost like the docu, you see this ascendancy where you guys go to the final. But yeah. I don't know that it really captivates fully all the lows of what you boys experience. I'm going to play the clip, and I want to get your feedback on that.
It was definitely the nitty-gritty. There were some days where we were like, man, what are we doing? We're training at some random park, and we're living in a hotel, and it's hot. We didn't really want to be there.
So... How bad was it going to Vegas? How difficult was that? How much of a challenge and how much adversity did the team had to face during that season?
I mean, yeah, like everything that could go wrong did go wrong. You know, there was a lot of things that were in place for us when we got out there, on our way out there, and then everything, like literally like a mirage, everything just dried up. It was just like, field we were supposed to have that didn't come through, the gym we were supposed to have didn't come through, like all of these things that were supposed to happen didn't materialize. And it's extremely difficult because obviously Scott and Zach, you know, they're away from their kids, their wives, you know, and players away from their families, and then we got just struck with injuries because our preseason was so odd that for whatever reason we just got hit with the injury bug, and you just had a handful of guys drop, and it was very tough. It was very, very tough. And you know, there was some beauty in that. Like, although Fields and all of these things were going wrong all around us, like, we actually got, like, Jasa Barrambulua, like, gold medalist, like, sevens player, like, every other, I don't know, every 1-3 nights or so, like, he'd cook up curry. And we were all staying in extended hotels and stuff. So we had, like, kitchens and stuff. And so we'd, like, a handful of us would go over and a couple nights, and Jasa would freaking cook us up curry. And we ended up getting these moments that I will say it wasn't all doom and gloom. Like, I'm a glass half full guy. I don't know if you guys can tell. But like, we did, like, meal nights where, you know, like, I'd cook up, like, tortilla soup. Jasa would cook up curry. Like, another boy would, like, cook up a big, like, steak and potatoes and stuff for grill, and like, we would trade off nights and stuff like that. And that's something that we would never get if we were back here in San Diego. And you know, that's something that you know, that adversity kind of brought us all together. But no, it was extremely difficult, and we also knew that, like, it's this or nothing. Like, it's go through this or don't play rugby at all, because we can't do it in California. We couldn't get it done. But yeah, that was extremely tough.
Yeah. Ryan, before we let you go, Ginty, do you have a question for Maddie?
I don't have a question. I have more of a statement, Ryan, and a thank you. I want to thank you for your humble approach, your eagerness, your just passion that you played the game with. I think that it's a no-brainer that they picked you because you're an authentic human being. You're so nice. Like, you know, I heard rumblings about you in college, and then, like, you know, getting to meet you at Old Blue in 14, 15, back in the glory days when I could claim that the Northeast was the best rugby, the epicenter of America. It might not be anymore, and somebody might get mad at me for saying that. I don't think it is. But at that point, it was killing it. But, like, you were great for the game. Your family was great for the game. Thank you for your service. Thank you for everything that you've done. And then just having that great attitude, man. And I'm excited to see that you're coaching. I think that's a perfect fit for you. It's going to inspire the next generation of Ryan Matthews to come through. And I'm excited. And I'm even more excited when you're going to become the third best rugby player in your household when your kid starts playing. And I want to see how that turns out, because I know that's going to be great. But thank you very much for your service, man. And it's been a pleasure, and I can't wait to see your smile again in person.
Hey, anytime, man. Anytime you guys call, I answer. I'm always here for you. Like I said, I appreciate what you guys do to help grow this game, and I'm always a phone call away.
Yeah, and it could be the fourth best member just now that we've got this news, right? So I'm going to leave everybody with this, and then we'll let Ryan go to practice and carry on. He embodies everything that Ginty just said, but one of the things that caught me is something I live by, a standard I live by as a teacher, as a coach, and it's this. He said this in the docu. He said, I can't ask somebody to do something that I wouldn't do myself. My number one standard of leadership. Ryan, keep being a leader in this community. We love how you're giving back, and it's wonderful, and good luck to you guys at San Diego State. And we wish you personally and your family, Jordan, your kids, all the best from the bottom of our hearts. Be true, brother, and be good.
Rob, Ginty, thank you guys. Appreciate you, man.
Go Aztecs.
Yes, sir.
Cheers, mate. Thanks for joining. Tell the boys we're sorry. All right. We're gonna rock the screen here. And for everybody that's watching, stay tuned. We're going to come back. Ginty and I are going to break down the docu in our own way. And just to give you an idea, we'll continue to feed in some clips, but we're going to evaluate the docu in four areas: production, storyline, voice. And by that, man, we're talking about things like Ginty voices that we heard interlaced throughout the docu, and then straight up entertainment value, particularly from the perspective of a new fan to rugby. So we're going to do all that when we come back after we hear a word from our sponsors. All right, everybody. We're back. And like I said, just a quest for the shield, an amazing docu that was put out by Lane 4 Media, directed by Justin and Deidre LaPera. They've done a number of things, including they have a piece out on the Nebraska Cornhuskers under Tom Osborne. It's titled Day by Day, so expect that out. They did the MLR Rising bit. They've done some surf movie or surf docus. And then, of course, Quest for the Shield. Check it out, Amazon Prime Direct 4, the low price of, I think it's $4.99, Ryan, is that right?
$5.99. But spend the money, people, because it's worth it.
It's worth it. And it can, you know, the more watches it gets, the more rugby benefits. And just sacrifice that cup of Starbucks and make a little brew at home, maybe a pour over, or go French press like myself and enjoy it and save the money and put it towards rugby in a little way. But like I said, we're going to come back and talk about this docu. Before we do, real quick, folks, don't forget this season, 2025. I know Ryan participates in our Super Brew contest. We're going to have a great prize or great prizes. Every week we're giving away a Rugby Rant Macron hoodie. And so you get actual merch this year. You actually get some merch. It's about a $70 value. And you can put your initials underneath the Macron logo so, you know, nobody can steal it, like a wife or a girlfriend or a boyfriend. You get it all to yourself. And then on the back, it has a nifty little saying that we're going to debut later on as we get closer. When Scott and I have one in hand, we'll display for you. But I think Ginty will like it. Maybe I'll tell him behind the scenes because he's such a regular contributor. But let's break it down, Ryan. We're going to start first with production. And that's why you were the first person I called when we were going to do this show, is I wanted somebody that had a production background that looked at it with a professional eye, not just a bystander's eye like myself. So you get first ups on this one. Grade A down to F. What did you think on production?
I'd give it an A. And I'll tell you this, you don't need to be involved in production to actually look at it and to see. I mean, it was good. It was shot well. Lane 4, like you said, they've done a lot of good stuff. They did the MLR Rising. I just really enjoyed everything about it. I thought that it was, you know, the visuals were really good, right? I mean, you're talking about, like, they took 7 years of content, 6 years of content, and were able to package it together. I remember I've always been, every San Diego game I'm watching, I'm like, there's some guy running around with the red camera, which is, if you don't know, camera's red, especially back in the day, it was like they got a red. It's like, that's nice. But I mean, it clearly shows off. I thought the production was well. I did get a little bit lost in it at first. And when it first came out, I didn't realize it was a whole, you know, a series or a show on the whole length of the San Diego Legion. I thought it was just maybe, you know, the last season, which, you know, we were intimately involved with that final. You know, we did the pregame show and we interviewed the players beforehand. So it's like, you know, which you can actually see Rob's doing Mikey Taylor right there on screen right there. I think that's kind of one of the things where I got lost at first. And then once I realized, I was like, oh, wow, this is going to go all the way back to the beginning. I thought it was really good. Like, I like that open book. I like that San Diego was willing to, you know, not pull any punches, right? Like, they were willing to say, hey, this went bad, this didn't work out, and you know what? Like, it is what it is. This happened. You know, I have a feeling that a lot of times in MLR, if it's not shiny, if it's not perfect, it doesn't get seen. It gets kind of hushed, and people don't bring it to the forefront, and I think it's the biggest problem that MLR is doing, is trying to make yourself look like, oh, hey, we're all great, and this is, everything's perfect in here. I mean, Mattias even alluded to it when we had him on earlier. He talked about it. It's like, if you're going to sit here and you're going to say, rah, 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 yay, rugby, everything's in there, not be authentic, then, like, you know, what are we doing here, people? That's not the reality. And I think that the production really didn't hide from the problems that San Diego had. And so, like, you know, we'll get into more of it. I don't want to, you know, shoot everything out right here on the first one we're talking about production. But, I mean, I got to say, you know, hats off to San Diego and hats off to Ryan Patterson and the owners and for having the foresight to say, hey, we want to do this. Like, we want the world to see what it's been like, seeing our struggles and seeing our triumphs. And, you know, I like I said, I give it an A on production. Like, I mean, it's a rugby documentary that made sense, and it was easy to follow, and I liked it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with it there, and I'll talk about my evaluation here in a moment. But I will give folks who are watching this a little bit of an idea, foreshadowing, if you will, to that interview that I did with both Justin and Deidre LaPera, owners of Lane 4 Media, who directed, filmed and directed the docu and put it all together. One of the things they talked about, and I know Ryan can maybe provide a little context for this, but sometimes they really had to be careful about getting too close into the, not on-field action, but the locker room behind the scenes action, right? If you get in too close, you kind of disturb what the team is trying to do and what the team is trying to accomplish. You're not one of the team, you're somebody that's trying to capture it, right? So using different lenses and longer lenses to get farther away, but still get on the inside. I'm going to show a little clip here of just what I'm talking about. And then I just want to ask Ryan his thoughts from, again, somebody who's been there, done that, who's an expert, who's a professional, who does this for a living, who understands the complexities and challenges that come with something like doing a documentary like this. So I'm going to play this clip. We'll come back and get Ryan's thoughts on this.
We said it in the week, those wins we had before, Domi. The next 10 minutes is everything. Next 10 minutes for us. You get into the sideline, the arrow like it's been all day. Crush what you see inside, that goes out the back, swim high, stay connected, we go again. And again, and again, and again. We set to go? With me, with you!
There you go, right there behind the scenes, you kind of see that, you know, they're trying to get in the middle of that huddle there, but then they pull back with a little different camera. Ryan, just talk about, you know, what are the complexities of this and challenges, and how well do you think they pulled it off?
Well, first off, this is the biggest problem. Marcel's got me ready to run through a wall, and I've already seen him say that, right? Like, I mean, so it is very hard. Like, when you're in these moments, right, like, you do have the lens and the camera so it can separate you from what's going on. And it is very important that you are not part of this whatsoever, right? You are a fly on the wall. You're there to kind of take this. Now, you're going to develop relationships with people when you do this. It's just impossible not to do that. You're going to do it. But when it's game time and when they're in the locker room, when they're getting ready to go, it's just, you know, you hang back and you just let it happen, right? And I mean, that is the best moments you ever get in rugby. It's in those huddles. It's those intimate moments. It's the unfiltered. It's like, I'm going to tell you, you are with 22 other people that you put literally your body on the line for and that you will probably die for. You know, you ask most rugby players, they'll die for the people on their pitch within that intensity. So it's like to have that, to capture that and to do all that. Like, I mean, it just gets me excited. I think it's the best thing that you could have in rugby. And, you know, it is difficult. And I mean, you know, if Lane 4, I'm not sure if Lane 4 had followed them all the way from the beginning, all the way from the beginning, right? So, I mean, that's like, that's a long time. So you have relationships with people. You understand how they work. You understand personnel dynamics. And then at the same time, the hardest part about that, though, is that when you have that, your lens becomes kind of rose tinted, if you will, and you have to step back and separate. And the professionals, obviously, they can step back, and now you have to look at it. It's like, okay, what's the story here? What do I like? Oh, hey, I really like this person, but maybe this doesn't shine them in the best light. But like, what's important for the story, right? So it's like all these kind of things that you kind of have that come about that you have to think about. And then, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, it's like, what's the end of the product? What are you trying to do? And what are your story? I mean, I think, and then the one thing, I mean, if they've been following for 6 years, like if you think about that, there's so many stories that we don't even know about, right? So like you take a two hour, and the hardest thing about editing is getting rid of footage. Like it is the hardest thing is just getting rid of footage because there's so much good things that you'll never see that are probably that they have on hard drive somewhere, over the last 6 years. So, I mean, I think it's something that you have to do as a professional, but at the same time, like, you know, I still find myself in situations to where it's like, I'm still fanboying. I'm still fangirling a little bit over it. Like, ooh, okay. Like, you know, this is really cool. Like I'm in here. And then you got to remind yourself, hey, I'm a professional, you know, come back. But to that point too, it is also really cool when you have these professionals that you've looked up to that are like your idols. And then they're just talking to you like you're Ryan. And it's like, whoa, okay. That's cool. You know what I mean? Like that's a pretty cool thing. So I don't know if that answered your question, but I think.
No, 100%. Yeah. I mean, as a matter of fact, I'm listening to your response and my brain's going in about five different ways. Cause I'm thinking about things like rose tinted glasses. And I think you're 100% right. Like they talked about that in the interview. And again, come back to the Rugby Rant. We're going to be posting this interview probably this week or next week. But check it out, because they talk about that piece, right? I mean, they're there for 6 years. It takes them time to earn the trust of players throughout that process. But then once they do, like you said, the difficulty of how can we, you know, how can we paint this picture and what kind of picture do we want to paint? And don't forget, you have, you know, individuals like Nonu and Robshaw. How easy is it to direct, you know, the attention towards them, because they are big personalities in the rugby world. But you, of course, have that American story that transcends throughout the entirety of the San Diego Legion history. That is, you know, Eagle Ryan Mattias, who we had on earlier. But I'm going to play a piece, because Ryan talked about running through brick walls. And I'm going back because I talked to a friend of ours, somebody that Ryan knows well, Ben Holden. You, of course, have worked with Benny's. I'm going to go ahead and say it. He is the voice of rugby in America now.
That's a great voice, too. That's a great voice. The best in America, I would say that.
Yeah, he is phenomenal. Mostly does hockey. He's had to learn the game of rugby, but he has learned it very well, and he does a phenomenal job on the MLR broadcast. Nevertheless, he said to me after he saw a particular scene that I'm going to play for you, he goes, I was ready to run through a brick wall after that. And this captivates kind of that insider's look and part of telling that story and how the Legion, you know, are in that quest for the Shield and how close they came in 2023 to realizing.
Doesn't matter what either of those two teams have done up until that point, it comes down to one game. That game effectively will come down to a couple of one percenters. It'll come down to the bounce of a ball or a referee's call. Something small in the game. We can train all we want. We can run them into the ground or not train at all. The whole season comes down to a couple of games.
Yeah, and there you hear Danny Lee, coach of the San Diego Legion, that 2023 team, talking about, you know, what it's like to go on that final pitch and try to realize that dream. So myself, production, without a doubt, did a phenomenal job. And right there with Ryan, it's difficult in determining what to cut and what not to cut and what to include. Directors Justin and Deidre told me that they had about 500 hours per season, which, Ryan, that's probably on par with what you'd expect, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've got, you know, just from the one season that we shot, that you'll never see any of that footage, terabytes upon terabytes upon terabytes of content sitting right here. So, I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of footage to shoot, you know, 17 games, 19 games if you make it to the final, right? Like, there's a lot of stuff. And I mean, you know, think about that opportunity too, and just the commitment that they had to gather all that footage, right? Like, I mean, I think that's like, you know, to stay with a project for that long, it's impressive. It's impressive.
Yeah. So times 6 years.
That's a lot. So like,
if 3,500 hours.
If you do the math on that, right? Like, so like a good SSD drive at 4 terabytes, especially back then, is about $400. You figure 500 hours, like, I don't even want to do the math on how much they spent on just hard drive space to store this footage. I mean, it's probably pretty, it's quite expensive, I would imagine.
Yeah, without a question. But I think they did a phenomenal job in putting it all together and really telling that story that they were looking to tell. So we're going to move on. And again, we're going to start with Ginty here, storyline. So what we're talking about is, this is the quest for the Shield. Give it a grade. What was your assessment of the storyline that was laced throughout this docu?
Okay, so this is my one knock on it right now. You know, okay, I have two knocks. They're minor. You know, I don't want to take too much away from it. But the storyline was a little confusing at first, right? Like, I couldn't tell if this was just, because it leads you to believe at the beginning it's like the lead up to the 23 championship in Chicago against New England. And so there was that, and then it kind of jumps all the way back. And I was just kind of like, so it was a little bit confusing at first. And for the first half hour, like, I didn't really know what the whole story or what it was going to be like. But then it totally redeems itself, because the storyline's amazing. Like, I just forgot how much shit that number one, the league had to deal with, and then number two, that San Diego had to deal with, right? Like, you talked to Ryan about, like, the San Diego experiment to Las Vegas, right? Like, you know, that was, and if I'm not mistaken, wasn't that the season to where they did, everybody played in Vegas for the first week, I think, as well, too, right? Was that coming right out of COVID where that happened, or was that the year before?
No, it doesn't matter.
But, like, the bottom line is that, like, you know, San Diego, they went up against a lot of adversity, you know, going all the way back to, you know, the when they lost to Seattle in the final of Torero. I thought that that was done really well. Like, I thought that the way that they reflected back on that, the way they talked about it, and then to go back to, you know, from Las Vegas, the hurdles they had to deal with in Vegas. And again, this is one of those things to where it was like, it was a black eye. I remember that game where they played Rooney, you know, and then Rugby United in New York, Scott, best rugby team ever, maybe. No, not really. But like when they played Rooney and the goalposts were like falling down, like, you know, that, and that was a nationally televised game. And it was, I was working for the league at the time and I was in the studio. I remember walking into that control room and being like, thank God I'm not doing that game, because I was doing the Coliseum with LA instead, which, so it's like the juxtaposition to having, you know, the LA Coliseum as a venue and then, you know, going back to the other one. I might be getting my years mixed up here, called CTE, because I am getting my years mixed up here. But it was, you know, just the struggles that they had to deal with is just, you know, impressive. And that mindset that San Diego had, though, is that, like, you know, they have the never say die, right? Like, yeah, this is the situation, but guess what? We're going to deal with it. We're going to go on and we're going to get it done. And I mean, I think it's, you know, the storyline does a very good job of, like, linking the military, you know, Bo, their general manager, you know, his whole military experience, how they brought that to bear. I mean, like, he was a badass in the military, dude. Like, he was a Force Recon guy, badass. Like, those are like the Navy SEALs of the Marine Corps. They might get offended if I call them Navy SEALs, but, like, it's for the common person to understand, it's basically the same thing. But that mentality of never say die, just keep going, like, okay, what are we going to do? So I give storyline the B minus only because I was a little bit lost in the beginning, but then we'll go back to B plus and we'll give it points because it did tell the whole story of the league as well. I mean, so this as much as this is about San Diego and the storyline, I think it's just as much about MLR and the growth and the growing pains that MLR has to go through over the last 6-7 years.
Yeah, an interesting take, and you're not wrong. Like, I can remember watching that game where those goalposts were literally falling over on players. Deidre and Justin, they actually talk about that. And again, I want to leave some meat on the bone so that people go back to that interview when it's released this or next week. But they talk about just that experience and getting that on camera and seeing what that was like firsthand. I think your analysis is spot on and having some concerns about that storyline at various points. And I'm going to address my perspectives on that here in a moment. But you mentioned Bo. I'm just going to show a real quick moment. I believe this is the clip where he talks about San Diego's experience as he's associated with him. So I'll play that right now.
What a day for it, eh? Finals are an absolute privilege. There's over 400 players who start at the beginning of this season thinking and dreaming of this day, work their ass off, and most of them got nowhere close. There is a massive responsibility on the 23 that are privileged enough to step out on that field today. Because we've worked hard this season, but all of that counts for nothing. It is all about what we produce in these next 80 minutes. And to the 23 on the field, I just want to remind you all that you are not alone. From the hunters, to the coaches, to the medics, to the backroom staff, to the ownership group. We are behind you. We are one today. We are an army, and the time to march is now.
No, sorry, it wasn't Bo, it was Alex Corbisiero. I got my clips mixed up then when I play them. Sorry, folks. But
still ready to run through a brick wall.
Right. That was the ready one that Holden was talking about, by the way. Yeah, it was phenomenal. But I think for me, I also went like B to B minus. And it's not because I didn't like the storyline. I thought the storyline they told was phenomenal. But I think that having talked to Justin and Deidre, they were hamstrung. I don't want to say hamstrung. That's a bad way to put it. I think they were given a storyline that they were supposed to tell and dig out in all of their footage. I think Ryan Patterson and Darren kind of said, we want you to document our process and our struggle and our quest, because we want to win. That's the goal of every season. And it started in 2019, of course, when they lost in that tight one to Seattle, right? So their thought was, this is going to be a one-year project, right? We're going to get back to the final. We're going to be competitive, and we're going to get that shield, and we want you to document our season, right? And so,
and then add 4 years onto that.
Right.
Wow. Okay. And that's right. That's some good insight there, Rob.
Right. And then all of a sudden COVID hits after five games, and they were humming along. If I'm not mistaken, they were doing okay. Humming along. And then the season shuts down, and that quest is not going to take place in 2020. And then they've got to resume it in 2021. And we've been talking about Vegas and some of the challenges. And you heard Mattias, when we had him on just a few minutes ago, talk about the injuries and all the challenges that they had during that season. And just the fact that I think they won five games in 2020. So clearly they weren't in a position to hunt for that shield. And they had to put it on the back burner until 2022. You know, and then you have LA that's involved, right? Was that in 2022? LA jumped in and won the shield, if I'm not mistaken.
2021, LA won. So I corrected myself before, but yes, LA was playing at the Coliseum, and it was San Diego that only had the problem in California that had to leave, right? So it wasn't, now that I'm thinking about it, I was right. It was LA that was playing in the Coliseum, and San Diego was in Vegas. And that LA team still might be one of the best teams to ever play in MLR.
Yeah.
That 21 LA team.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, here's where my criticism is not of the directors, because I think they had a scripted storyline to follow. Mine was more about the sanitized thing that we talked about earlier, right? That we're almost like the league, and we're afraid of a black eye. We're afraid to tell the dirty little secrets. But if you think about, what's the standard for sports docus?
You got to have some controversy. You got to have something, right? Something's got to go wrong. You got to have...
Right. What is it? Race for the Chase, or Chase for the Race, or whatever it is, that F1 docu, right?
Yeah, Drive to Survive.
Drive to Survive. Thank you. Sorry. Yeah. Right. That's like the standard, right? Well, what makes it a standard? The fact is that the two premier guys that are directing these teams are at odds, and they fucking hate each other.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what makes it like compelling. And that's the thing that we didn't have in this. I think they could have brought it in when they talked about dealing with, you know, they were promised, as Ryan said, promised some things in Vegas that never materialized. I think they could have hit it in telling a story about all that went on behind the scenes with LA and Austin. But those things, especially the latter, wouldn't have fit too well within the storyline they were asked to tell.
And yeah, so I would argue with that. Yeah, because that's not even San Diego related, right? Like, I mean, if we're being honest, that's not even San Diego related. But yeah, to that point, Rob, that brings up a good point. Like, when you go out to shoot a story in a doc setting, right? Like, you go out and you want to have objectives. Hey, this is what we want to cover. This is what we want to do. But you can get in there, and then it's like, well, that's not what it is at all, right? Or you could take an approach where I'm just going to be a fly on the wall and then see what stories go into it. And neither one of those approaches are really good. It's kind of a mix of the two, right? Like, you want to have an idea of what you want, right? But then you also, it could pivot into something completely different, right? So like trying to force something and trying to make it work, and especially if it's like, hey, we're gonna win the championship and that's what we want you to cover, it's like, well, that didn't work, right? Like, you know, 6 years on, they're still doing it. I mean, San Diego still doesn't have a championship. They will eventually. I mean, it's a class organization. I'm sure that they will eventually. You know, just need to get rid of that New England Free Jacks side out there and let somebody else win. But it's, you know, I it's to shoot a doc, it's not easy. And the storytelling piece of it, and then pulling out the little tidbits of it and what makes sense and what goes, and then, you know, that. But again, to your point of, you know, I do like that they did talk about things that went wrong. Like, you know, and again, MLR is afraid of saying things go wrong, right? They're afraid of controversy. Like, look at the Pate Hooman slap, right? Like, yeah. The whole world saw that. That is the biggest moment in Major League Rugby history across the world. And right before Major League Rugby All Access went to air, they had to pull that, cut it out, pull that segment out of it, and just scrub it like it didn't happen. It's like the like 3 million people on one Twitter post within a day didn't see that. You know what I mean? So that's where I think MLR needs to do a better job of allowing a little bit of controversy. Can you imagine if, like, the NFL tried to shut down every bad story that was out there?
Oh, God. You know, that would be like a whole staff worth of full-time jobs, you know, going on.
Yeah.
Trying to manage 400 players in both their professional and personal lives is so difficult. But yeah, that's where I think that's where the only thing I could find fault in the storyline. And like I said, I don't think that was Deidre and Justin's issue. They were given a task and they were chasing that task down. But that's what makes things compelling. So with that, let's turn it over to Voice. Folks, we're going to grade that. And like I said, we heard from Ryan Mattias. He was a big voice throughout. You know, what'd you think about the voices that we heard? We heard from Corbusiero there just before the final and Danny Lee as they're kind of going into that final. And of course, Ryan Mattias. So what were your thoughts on voice? Give it a grade.
I'd give it a solid A-, right? Like, I mean, I think that, like, the voice is only because I have to be critical, right? I don't want to come into this all going back, this is the best thing ever. But I mean, all the sound bites were great. Like, you know, they're good things. They get you motivated. It really brings you into that locker room. It brings you into the team. You know, like Ryan said, you know, I was wondering if I should open up or I shouldn't. He really opens up and, you know, you really get heartfelt, you know, real human emotion, which is what you want and what you need. And I thought they did a really good job of being able to portray that. You know, like they had a bunch of different voices talking. We didn't hear much from Maa, and there's a reason for that. He doesn't like to talk on camera. Like his first game in San Diego, I remember I was in the truck for CBS when we did that, and it was me, Sturbina, and Stacy Pates, and they were like, hey, go get an interview from Maa. And of course, Stacy goes over there, and thank God Stacy's the professional she is. She could tell right away he doesn't really want it to be all about him. You know what I mean? He's not like that. So that's why I think we didn't really feature Maa as much as, you know, some of us rugby nuts would like to, you know, but like, yeah, I mean, they had a great cast of just like characters that came through and great players, you know, legends across the, I mean, what better center, you know, is there than Maa Nanu, like to play maybe Tana Umaga, right? Like his predecessor, right? So maybe that's the only one, or Brian O'Driscoll, right? Like you could argue that, but like, I thought the voices were good. You know, I think Corbs, you know, seeing him get all fired up. And, you know, I think the thing about the voices, it wasn't so much the people that were saying it, but it was the content of what they said that I thought was really good.
Yeah.
You know, it was, you know, and again, like, this is just what we need. Like, this is the stuff that we need. These are the things we need to hear. These are, you know, from the mouth of the people that are doing it. And it's not scripted. That's the best part about this, that none of this is scripted. It's all from the heart. And that's why I give it an A, because everything's truth. It's from the heart. And I didn't feel like there's any fluff that was put into this documentary.
Yeah. A lot of great points there, Ryan. And I say, I would give it a B+. And here's why. I thought the Ryan Mattias story was awesome. I give that in itself an A, just because he was there from the start to the end of his career. I think that was wonderful. Okay. And I get that Nonu is a hard individual to pin down, because you're right, talking to the directors, he very much did not want to be the center of the attention. That is not the culture that he came from. Interestingly, NZ Plus is out, where they're the All Blacks are actually doing like behind the scenes TV. So I think we're going to see much more overtures from individuals, you know, in both the Black Ferns and All Blacks camp. That being said, here's where I think they could have brought into the storyline some other voices. And I'm not saying they needed to be featured over and above or more so than Ryan, because you're speaking to an American audience for the most part, right? Because it's an American league and an American team. But Chris Robshaw, they brought him in 2020. They brought him in because they felt that that was going to put them over in the championship. That was going to turn them into a champion, him and some of the other individuals. I would have liked to have heard a little bit more from them about being brought in.
What happened to him, though? What happened to him?
Well, he was injured
in the season. Yeah. Right, like he got injured almost right away. Like he got injured pretty quick, right? So, but yeah, no, I think
that, honestly, isn't that part I would of the love story to... too, right? As that part of the story too, you know that injuries happen, and that's part of rugby. And sometimes, you know, you think you're bringing in this star-studded player, and you think they're going to be a difference maker, and then they get hurt, and all of a sudden you're like, all right, we got to go to Plan B.
That's a very valid point, Rob. Like I 100%. Like yeah, that would have been a good storyline. You know what I mean? I think that would have been. You know, to be able to hear that, the triumph, like, and then the tragedy of it, right? Like, I mean, blows his shoulder out and then comes back again, right? And then blew his shoulder out again, like, right away on his way out. So it's like, yeah.
And they hit upon it with Blair Cowan when he was red carded and was out for a 4-game suspension. So you knew he was going to be out of the Western Conference final and the final, right? If they would have, you know, having won it, the final as well. And just, him talking about being gutted, not being able to be on the pitch with his boys, being basically, I mean, I don't think he described as useless, but not being able to have an impact upon the team, right? And so I would have liked to have heard a little bit more on that piece, like post-red card, like raw, you know, emotion, knowing that he might not be able to play in the upcoming games.
So here's the one thing that I would caveat with that, though, right? Like, we want all these reactions, and we want to see all these reactions, and we want to be like, oh, man, we got to see that. But did these reactions even happen, yeah, right?
Fair.
Right? Did these reactions even happen? Or was Blair like, shit, man, I'm a professional. I did this. It's, you know, it's – move on, right? Next job, let me get these guys ready, right? So it's like maybe there's not even a story there. Right. So maybe there's a story that we're not missing. I'm just playing devil's advocate, Rob. Yeah, I think you're making great points. I think you're making great points all the way across with this. And, you know, it sounds like maybe you should get some production, you know, some producer credit somewhere outside of just the unscripted podcast world. So you got some good ideas. But yeah, no, I think that maybe some.
Oh, just kidding.
hey, docs don't pay, man. Docs don't pay. So it's like it's a labor of love. You know, that's unfortunately, I mean, that is the reality. Like, a lot of documentary work doesn't pay, right? And, you know, and Carter Cahill from USA Rugby told me this at Club Sevens. He's like, hey, listen, man, I think you made the right decision with going to broadcast versus documentary because my heart lies in the documentary piece. But he goes, you know, a documentary is a luxury. A broadcast is a necessity, right? Yeah. So it's like, you know, to that point, you know, we are fortunate to have a documentary that's out there, right? Like, yeah. You know, so there's that. But, yeah, no, I can see to you on that, Rob. You've got me convinced. You win that one.
All right. Well, thank you for your honesty and welcome to your ear. So let's turn as we start to round out this podcast and this episode. It's been wonderful. By the way, 198, we're inching ever closer to that 200th episode.
Hats off to you. Let me just toot your horn a little bit here, people. As somebody that's done podcasts before and have grown tired of them because they're a lot of work and, you know, like the dedication to stay and to almost get to 200, Rob, that's like, you know, you guys have done a great thing. You've built an awesome platform here with the Rugby Rant. And I mean, 200 episodes is very impressive, man. And like, you know, keep up the good work, dude. This is awesome that you've built this. And I mean, what other podcast aside from like maybe Rugby Wrap Up that has been around this long and has had statuitiveness, or I don't even know what word I'm thinking. I'm making shit up right now.
I think about Matt.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I think about what Matt does for the rugby community. I mean, and I can tell when I speak to him, and we spoke to him quite a bit on that day just before the 2023 final, right? We were on camera with him and doing the pregame show, and you just tell him everything he does, the passion that he has for the sport. And that's, I think that's what it comes out of. That's why you're still involved, because you're passionate you're still doing wonderful things in the sport.
Are we passionate, Rob, or are we gluttons for punishment? So my sixth grade lacrosse coach told me I was a glutton for punishment. And like, I think anybody that works in rugby media, you are a glutton for punishment.
Well, that might be true. I mean, you're a glutton because it's a job for you. For me, you know, I have another job and fortunately my livelihood doesn't depend on it. Right. So I don't.
Well, let me tell you, the security of having a real job looks mighty nice right now, because it's the independent contractor work. Like, I love it. it, but at the same time, like, you know, sometimes like I just don't love rugby because I feel like I'm just, you know, sometimes rugby isn't very nice to you in the business sense of it. So, but fortunate and blessed. But yeah, kudos to you and the big guy for doing what you do, man.
Thank you. All right, last point here, folks. Entertainment value. Ryan, give it a grade.
I give it a I'll go with Rob here, and I'll give it an A-minus because I don't want to go too I'll take some off of it. Entertainment value, like, I thought it was good. I think it's a piece that's needed. You know, I think for American rugby content, I mean, I can't think of anything else that's better out there. No. You know, like, there's nothing from, like, a documentary standpoint. I love the format of the two-hour documentary versus the docuseries in this. Like, oh, give really? It all to me once. Yeah, I really do. I really do like that, right? Because you're not forcing stories. You just kind of let it happen. It's like, I'm still, you know, I'm that millennial cusp era to where, like, I can still sit down and enjoy a nice documentary. I don't need stuff digested in 21-minute segments that I can only sit down and that's force it. So, I mean, I really like that portion of it that, you know, I was one of the days that, like, my wife went to work and I actually didn't have much work to do when it was after we finished NCR Nationals. And I literally just saw Will Hooley's post. And this is my biggest knock on it, is that we didn't know this was coming. Right. Like, my biggest knock is that we didn't know this was coming. So we didn't get to draw up anticipation. It's always been my dream, going back to when I did the old Blue Doc and I did some other stuff, to create kind of like a Warren Miller-esque movie for rugby. Right. Like, what is this? Like, get everyone together in a theater, really release it and have everyone excited for it. I know when we released it for Old Blue, like, everybody was excited. They knew it was coming. It was happening. And obviously that doc is nothing compared to this whatsoever. But, you know, it was just something that I saw in passing on Will Hooley's story. And then I went out and then I found it and I saw it. Now there's a good runway of, like, promotion that I'm starting to see a lot of it. But, like, I really would have liked to have seen this and known about this before I did. I would like to have thirsted for this, right? Like, I think that's the one thing. Like, I wasn't thirsty for this documentary. That being said, it was a hell of a drink once I had it. You know what I mean? It was like, I ain't got shit to do today. Let me sit on the couch with the dog and the cat. We're going to watch this. The wife's at work. Like, we're going to sit down and we're going to dedicate 2 hours to just watching this. And so then, like, I give that, like, ask, are we doing entertainment value? Is that what we're doing right now?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Entertainment value. Yep. So let's, So I mean, I'd give it a B+ just because we weren't expecting it. And also, like, you know, we just gotta be, I guess, a little critical here of it. But, you know, overall, I give the whole doc an A because I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a good storyline. We need more of it. You know, I look back at, like, some of the other projects that might be going on. You know, the Hound shot a documentary last year, which I'm excited to see. I tell you, that equipment that they were using, again, that's going to look beautiful. But to the point of the storylines, like, I don't know what storyline you really kind of pull out, right? Because I've shot, like, a documentary, and, like, I'm still, like, waiting for the bang, and then sometimes, like, it just doesn't happen. Right. So, like, sometimes you go fishing and you don't get anything. That's the reality of this. But for the entertainment value, I think, you know, they went fishing and they did a lot of fishing for this. And, you know, they got a good product. You know what I mean? And it's, you know, I want to talk about the price. Like, I've seen online that people bitching about, like, oh my God, I got to pay for this. This should be free. No one's ever going to see it. Shut the fuck up. Right? Like, you got to make an economy out of this. Like, I'm tired of people expecting things for free in rugby, but yet you'll go to an AAU, your kid will be in AAU basketball, and you'll spend thousands and thousands of dollars a year on AAU basketball, but you can't spend $5.99 on a damn product, or you complain that the Rugby Network now has $7.99 passes, TRN tickets, so you can watch Nationals, and that's a thing, and you shouldn't be able to pay for it. Shut the fuck up. Like, nothing is going to be for free. You pay for everything now, and if you can't make an economy out of this, and if you're not willing to pay, then what are we doing here? How do you expect a professional product? Put your money where your mouth is, spend it. You know, if you're a broke college kid, I understand it. You can complain about $5.99, but if you're an adult and you're online and you're complaining that you have to pay to watch this documentary, shut up, because, like, you know what? People deserve money. San Diego deserves money. They put money into it. And Deidre and Justin, they deserve to be paid and they deserve to be rewarded for their work, because, you know what? No one's going to ask you to work for free. So that's, I guess I'll get off my rugby rant now.
And I was just going to say, and that's why we call this the rugby rant. Right? Perfectly said. I'm glad you said it, Ryan. I am glad you said it. And you said something that, like, rung a bell, because I've heard this multiple times. I'm talking to a mate of mine who is a guy who was an official, a guy I officiated with years in wrestling. And he officiated our match, and I'm like, hey, where are you off to this afternoon? He goes, all right, it's going to open up my schedule because we got done early, and I'm going to be able to go watch my daughter in gymnastics. She said, she's 10. I said, oh, yeah. I said, yeah. Unfortunately, it's $20 a session, and there are six sessions. $20 a session. He goes, I took my family the first time we took them to see her do gymnastics, and it was like, you know, there's five or six of us, and they said, yeah, that'll be $120, please. And so we don't bat an eye. You're right. We don't bat an eye at shit like that. I remember Fee told me they had to pay $25 to go each to have his son, who is a young child, and then his wife and himself, $75 to watch their daughter in a gymnastics event, and they won't bat an eye, yet they're complaining about $5.99. With you, pay $5.99. It's a cup of coffee, for crying out loud, and watch this docu. Entertainment value for me, I agree, B+. And I guess here's why. For me, I'm a teacher. I'm a hard A. Like, you have to just knock my socks off. I think this was great. It was entertaining. I just wish there was a little bit more controversy baked into it. Again, because the standard is that Drive to Survive, which had a ton of controversy, but also brought a ton of attention to the sport. And I guess that's what we're looking for, is something that's going to be compelling that drives people to rugby. And Alona Marr, she does that on social media, right? She's vulnerable. She's compelling. She's honest. She's raw, you know, and she snaps back when people, give her the business, and she lets them know how she feels. And so what's happened? She blows up from, 400,000 followers to 4.5 million?
Right? I can't say point taken on that, Rob, because I don't think Alona's caused any controversy, right? So, like, you're talking about wanting controversy, and you use Alona as an example, and I'd say Alona is the farthest thing from controversial when it comes down to it, right? But
but I think when she talked about body positivity, and when she talks about the fact that no guy wants, you know, she's having trouble finding a date because, you know, she's thick. She's a, you know, a 5'10", 200-pound, you know, hard-charging female. And some dudes just can't handle it. We know some.
Well, they're idiots. They're idiots.
Yes, they are.
They're idiots. Yes, they are. You know.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, and I get what you're saying. She doesn't say things like a Deion Sanders controversial, in that sense. But I think she tackles controversial issues in a way.
She's fearless, is what I would say. She's fearless.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good way of saying it. Right. Like, yeah, fearless and like not afraid to say what's on her mind. And I tell you, like, I'm kind of upset that Dancing with the Stars is over, because I became a big fan and now I could care less about anybody else that's on it. But I watched every episode of that Dancing with the Stars.
And hey, I renewed my subscription so I could watch not the Prem, so I could watch WPR and watch the book.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like I haven't watched any of the Prem stuff. Like, I care less about Prem rugby, but PWR, like, I'll pay attention to that. Like, I turned that on, the Bristol Bears. Like, I've seen the two games that she played. Like, I'm the Alona Marr effect is real, and it's cool seeing, having seen her since a freshman in college in Connecticut at Quinnipiac, and then actually the guy who I originally started Next Level Rugby with, like, first day of Next Level Rugby when I still didn't know anything. Her dad was his coach in high school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Vermonter, Burlington, Vermont, up that way. But now we're getting off of San Diego. We're this is the Alona Marr effect, right? Yeah, like, just keep talking about everything. Yeah.
But yeah, so hopefully we'll see some more documentaries. I think the one in the Six Nations, it's going to be from the 2024 season, but it'll be coming out here shortly as we approach 2025 Six Nations, is going to be coming out soon.
So, and the rumors to that, Rob, is I think you're going to be happy, because the first one was too sterile, and that's what everyone's saying. And then so, like, you know, they saw, like, that, you know, the Six Nations, and talk about, like, old English people that want to keep their reputation sterling and all that, are finally kind of being like, oh, hey, you know, maybe – maybe we should open this up a little bit. I mean, I think it's like rugby has a problem with it, right? Like you look back and I don't know if anybody watches like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and you hear James Haskell, right? Like he was the first bad guy that was doing like social media, right? He was the first one to tackle on it. Everyone in rugby hated him. All the olds were like, oh, this is awful. Like, what are you doing? It's about the game. You should be respectful and blah, 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 blah. And again, this is another thing where get the bleep out, Rob. Shut the fuck up. Like, you know, we don't need that. Like, we need people to show themselves and to be authentic and to celebrate and to do all these things. Like, you know, I think like one of the best things, like going off right here in the back, I don't know if you've seen it, but like at the end, that's the IUP Northern Iowa National Championship game. And at the end of it, IUP plants the flag in the middle of the field, plants their flag in the middle of the field, right? Like, and what would traditionalist rugby say? Oh my God, I can't believe you do that. Guess what we did? The last thing you saw on our broadcast was him planting that flag in the field, fade to black, right? Because that's what we need. That's what we want. We want some entertainment. We want it excited. I'm tired of these old heads that are just like, oh, this is blah, 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 blah. Just show up and score your try and walk away. Oh, fuck no. Show some emotion. You know, after tries, but like not after tackles because you got to make another tackle. But like, you know, like other stuff. And, you know, that's what you want to talk about entertainment value. That's kind of where you need to get to, right? Like,
and that's where I'm going with my career right there is that let's show a little bit more of the controversy. Let's get down and dirty. And it's okay because it's going to help people understand the game, going to help grow the game, going to help grow interest. So, all right, folks. Damn, Ryan, I think we dug into that pretty good.
Yeah, no, I mean, now it's everybody's got homework. You need to go on Amazon Prime, spend the $5.99 to rent it, or you could spend $19.99 and you can buy it, which I probably should have bought it. That was foolish of me. I just spent the $5.99, so go out and buy it. It'll be also interesting, too, to see, like, the more people that get watching it, right, because where is this on the YouTube search list now, right, or on not YouTube, on Amazon, right? Mm-hmm. So we probably have to search it out. But the more people that go out there and watch it and bring traction to it, that's probably going to get bumped up into the algorithm. That'll get in front of other people's eyes. And who's to know? I don't know. Did Justin and Deidre talk about distribution? And then maybe at some point this will be free afterwards, or what the marketing strategy is behind that? Or
I it's funny you say that. I asked about their involvement in shopping this around. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have enough of the technical understanding of documentaries and the expertise of production like you to be able to ask that pointed of a question. But I think it's a fair question. I'll certainly I'll reach out to them and get an answer because I think it's a great question.
Yeah. Either way, pay the money. Yeah. Don't be a cheap ass. Don't be a cheap ass. Stop taping up your boots. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's the same people that get off and drive away in a Mercedes that are still taping up their boots from 10 years ago. You know, you cheap fucks in rugby. That's what it is, man. So
you are right. You are right. All right, folks. Well, I think we kicked 198 around a lot. And it was fun. I knew I asked the right guy to come and join us because I know I knew he'd have a great opinion and B, a great technical eye on this subject matter, as he always does with anything rugby. Gitti, thanks a lot, brother, for joining. It's absolutely and always a pleasure when you jump on the rugby rant.
Hey, my pleasure, man. Thank you for having me. Anytime. Like, I'll come on and, you know, I'll show up prepared on Mike Lance.
That's a story for another day. We'll let folks
know. That is.
and you're one dig at a guy who does a lot of commentary for you over the years, but
yeah, one of my favorites for sure. One of my favorites for sure.
I know. All right, folks, 198 is done and dusted. Again, check it out, Amazon Prime Direct. That would be Quest for the Shield. And come back and see us. We're going to have the Coach's Corner coming up. I mean, we got a lot of fucking content, boys and girls. A lot of content. Coach's Corner is going to come firing at you twice a week. We got a rants once a week. And now we got a little extra something special from Deidre and Justin LaPera, the directors of Quest for the Shield. But I think that'll do it for Ryan and myself tonight. Rugby rant. We're out. We always seek to grow rugby one fan at a time. And that's a mic drop, folks.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.